Good morning. In last week's lesson, we noted the following. The new birth allows us to see or enter the kingdom of God. The new birth includes baptism in water, and the new birth includes our obedience to the Word of God. Then we focused on the following two matters. How the Holy Spirit is involved in revealing God's Word, that is, how inspiration works, and that rejecting God's message was equal to a rejection of the Holy Spirit. In this lesson, we will examine the Bible's teaching in order to demonstrate that the message of the apostles from Pentecost forward was a message given by the Spirit of God and thus by God Himself. That those who obeyed that message were not following the words of the apostles as men, but rather the words and message of God given through the Spirit. And that those who were baptized in accordance with the apostles' teaching were born not only of water, but also of the Spirit. And that through the obedient act of baptism itself. Thus, those who obey the teachings of Christ, as He instructed the apostles to preach, are obeying and so born of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the process of inspiration includes several elements. God revealed through the Holy Spirit, who knew the mind of God, things what God wanted to be revealed, to inspired writers, such as Paul, Peter, and others, so that when they wrote or spoke these things, the hearers and readers could have God's knowledge about the things revealed. This process is detailed in 1 Corinthians 2, 9-13 and in Ephesians 3, 1-5. The conclusion we draw from these passages is that through the process of inspiration, we have the Bible as the Word of God. Because of the process of inspiration, God's Word is final and authoritative. It provides all that we need in order to know God's will and to live godly in His sight. Concerning this, Paul said, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Peter echoed these thoughts when he said that through knowledge God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. For our purpose today, we can be sure that the Word of God is true, authoritative, and complete. We must remember, though, that the Bible was not fully revealed the instant that the kingdom of God came into existence. For example, 60 years after the establishment of Christ's church on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Bible was being revealed through inspired men. Thus, the early church, from its beginning in 30 to 33 AD until 100 AD, did not have the fully revealed New Testament as we have it today. The early church was not, however, without guidance. Just as a chain of authority existed in the process of inspiration from God, culminating in the written word, so a chain exists from God to the apostles of Christ. The links of that chain are as follows. While on earth, Christ was subject to the will of His Father in heaven. This is taught in a number of passages. John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work." Then in chapter 5:30, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." And then in John 6:38 we read, "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." After Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected from the grave, He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Matthew 28:18. Peter, quoting David, presented Christ as reigning at the right hand of God, Acts 2:33-36. And Paul said that Christ would reign over His church until it was delivered up to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15:24-28. Following and because of His resurrection, Jesus was made both Lord and Christ, Acts 2:32-37. Though He was the Son of God before His death, burial, and resurrection, now, upon the completion of these three key elements of His mission, Jesus has been perfected. Hebrews 5:8-9, "Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him." He became, then, all authoritative over the kingdom soon to be established. In the period of time between His resurrection and His ascension, Christ told the apostles that they would receive power from above. He says in John 16:13-15, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. And He shall glorify Me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. See also John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18, and verse 26, John 15, 26 and 27, Luke 24, 44 and following, and also Acts chapter 1, 1 through 8. You see, these passages refer to the power of the Holy Spirit which was to be given to the apostles, and which was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost following Jesus' ascension in Acts chapter 2. Jesus assured the apostles that they would speak by the authority of His Spirit, the Comforter. We conclude then that when the apostles spoke, they spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit. In confirmation of this, Peter in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 states, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It follows that, in claiming to have the prophetic word made sure, verse 19, Peter claimed that the apostles spoke under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That this claim applies to others is clearly shown when Peter equated the writings and teachings of Paul to the inspired scriptures of the Old Testament, 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16. All of this indicates that because the apostles were promised the miraculous power and influence of the Holy Spirit, the message of the apostles was the message of God through the Holy Spirit. The chain of authority then, as it relates to the apostles, is as follows. God committed all authority in heaven and earth to His Son following Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. While He was alive, and even after His resurrection, Jesus promised to provide a Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to guide the apostles into all truth. John 14, 26, 15, 26, and 16, 13 through 15, thus assuring that the message of the apostles would be authoritative. The fulfillment of Jesus' promise came to pass in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and began to influence their preaching and teaching of the gospel of Christ. If the chain of authority from God, through Christ, through the Spirit, to the apostles is correct, then to respond and obey to the apostles' message is equal to obeying God and the Holy Spirit. Conversely, to obey the message of the apostles is equivalent to disobeying the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Consider the following passages which declare this truth. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul writes, "For this cause we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcome it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God." Therefore, he writes in 1 Thessalonians 4:8, "He who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us His Holy Spirit." "He who hears you hears me," says Jesus. "He who rejects you rejects me. He who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Luke 10, verse 16. Jesus said this while he addressed the 70 sent out on the commission to Israel. The same principles applies to the apostles. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? You've not lied to men, but to God." This shows that the lie to Peter was first and foremost a lie to God. Then in Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 52, Stephen in his sermon says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers." Friends, all these passages, as well as others, indicate that the apostles claimed their message to be inspired of God, that those who heard, believed, and obeyed that message, believing the apostles' message to be equivalent to the Word of God, and those who refused to obey the gospel message were refusing a command of God. Because the apostles preached and wrote by the influence of the Holy Spirit, whatever the apostles commanded was a command of God. That is most clearly stated when Jesus told Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Matthew 16, 19. This same remark was repeated to the rest of the apostles later in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. The sense of this verse is clear. What the apostles were going to preach had divine authority behind it. In exactly the same way, John the Baptist was a prophet sent from God, Matthew 21:23-27, and Luke 3:2. Though the apostles did not speak the truth of their own accord, they definitely did speak the truth. As they preached and as they wrote, God's message was proclaimed. Thus, whatever the apostles commanded was a command of God and the Holy Spirit. Whatever the apostles enjoined upon their hearers and readers was to be obeyed, and such was obedience, not to the words of men, but to the words of God. In our next lesson, we will examine a passage that sums up all these teachings, and then we will study the necessary elements required in order to be born again. If you have any questions, would you please let us know? And until next week, may God bless and keep you.